understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Scheman here in Estero with Ozzy. We've got Pete in Bonita. I think your storms are heading our way. I hear a lot of thunder and stuff going on outside.
Yeah, clearing up. Seems to be clearing up over here.
You can put your furniture back to where it belongs before the wifey comes home. We've got Chris here on the other side of the glass. Lots of important things to talk about here, whether it be baseball's ridiculous 50-game season. We've got Carol Baskin
bit of breaking news.
We've got John Daly news, and you've got breaking news. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We got to fire up the thing? Is it legit? Is this huge breaking news?
Well, I don't know. I think you don't need the sounder for this, which came out 3 minutes ago from Adrian Wojnarowski. NBA Board of Governors has a Thursday meeting set for a vote on a finalized plan to restart the season. The league is still working through those deals with the NBPA, but as the NBA models a 22-team format, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, a July 31st resumption in Orlando, the proposed timeline for teams as the last possible date for the NBA Finals Game 7 would be October 12th.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I'm wondering when the hell baseball's final game is going to be played. As you know,
they're done. They played their final game.
You're probably right.
They played their final game.
They started arguing about a 100 game season, or no, an 80. First, it was an 82 game season. Then it was going to be 100. Then 114, so the players could get a little extra money. The owners are coming back with 50. You know, let me put 50 in perspective for you. That would be like if we started the season on time, April 1st, and we started the playoffs on Memorial Day. We don't know who's good by Memorial Day. We're just figuring out who's good by Memorial Day each and every year. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd.
Also, according to some things I've read, NFL about to announce that teams must remain at their training facilities for preseason camp. Carolina Panthers are one of 5 teams that still live in the metropolitan area. For the camp. Now, what's interesting is because the Cowboys, teams that would have gone away would have been the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, the Cowboys, the Panthers, Rams, Raiders, Redskins, and Steelers.
They are in. Say that again. They're in metropolitan.
They would have gone away, but I just saw some of the Cowboys were going to head train out west, and they're not going to be able to. I don't believe.
Well, the last few years they've been traveling out in Oxnard. That's west of Los Angeles, northwest.
Yep.
And although things are opening up, well, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Bowling Green got a bunch of fundraising stuff together. They brought back the baseball team after a few weeks. That's good.
That is cool. That's good.
Yep. That's great. And the other NFL nugget I had for you earlier is that, as you said, 100 days away from NFL football.
Yes.
NFL officiating crews preparing a 6% drop in experience from last year. However, 14% of the on-field officials have more than 20 years experience heading into this season. Jeff Bergman, by the way, hired in 1991, enters his 30th season.
I think that's even bigger than it sounds, because I think if you go back one more year, the drop-off in experience was significant. Remember, like, everybody was leaving to go get a TV job or something like that. And Hockley retired. And I mean, just on and on. So I think if you were to do a two-year trend of the experience we're losing with NFL officials, it'd be an even bigger number.
Yeah.
Staggering almost. All right. I have to do this as a part of a little bit cathartic for me, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Today is a bad, bad day.
Oh, I know what this is.
In the history of baseball. Chris has some audio he wanted to rub in my face, so we're going to do this.
What a great call.
No, not rub in your face.
Okay.
Not at all. Opposite.
Okay. All right. Let's go back in the time machine. June 2nd, 2010. 10 years ago tonight. We'll go back to Comerica Ballpark in Detroit, Michigan. The Indians were taking on the Tigers. Armando Galarraga, a young pitcher on the mound, got the first 26 batters out. Basically threw a perfect game, but didn't get credit for it. because Jim Joyce missed an obvious, it wasn't even a bang-bang play, missed an obvious call at first base calling the runner safe, and the perfect game was ruined. Here's the call.
26 up, 26 down. Here comes number 27. It's Jason Donald, and a crowd of better than 17,000 to its feet. Ground ball, right side. Cabrera will cut it off. Galarraga covers. He's out. No, he's safe. He is safe. He is safe at first base. Jim Joyce said he was safe at first base.
It wasn't even close.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
So bad.
And his career never got on track after that.
Galarraga was out of baseball.
2 years later?
About 2 years later.
3 years later?
Yeah. Jim Joyce is still around, right? I mean, he's retired, I think, but he's alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
Still doing interviews about this. He feels horrible
about
it.
He should feel horrible about it. And I'm sorry, the apology the next day doesn't mean diddly poo. It doesn't. He threw a perfect game. Not a no-hitter. He threw a perfect game. Yeah. And you took that away from him.
He got the next batter out, by the way. Tigers win 3-0.
Yes, he got 28 out. 28 up, 28 down.
Yeah.
There was also a bad call in a 3-2 count back in 72 with Mil Pappas. The umpire called it ball four. And it was a strike, if I remember seeing that. I guess I remember they showed that replay that night, too, after Galarraga. They went back to that game.
So the next day, Jim Leland, in a class act, sends Galarraga to home plate with the lineup to give to Jim Joyce, who was the home plate umpire the next night. And then Joyce just broke down and cried.
Yeah. Do you remember what the governor did back then? Do you remember Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm? Do you remember her? She issued a proclamation. I, Jennifer M. Granholm, governor of the state of Michigan, do hereby declare Armando Galarraga to have pitched a perfect game. It's only valid only in Michigan, but it's valid somewhere else.
Good for her. Now, that's some good leadership there in Michigan.
Yep.
Can use some of that these days.
They're open.
Talking about.
They're open now.
Well, Monday, I think.
Practice facilities.
She opened the state yesterday on the day in which no news could escape the vacuum.
No.
If you wanted to bury a story, yesterday was the day to do it.
Yes.
Speaking of stories, Carol Baskin, who you know from Tiger King on Netflix. She's got the Tiger Sanctuary up in Tampa St. Pete area, right? And she was the one that Joe Exotic.
Hey, all you cats and kittens.
Hey, exactly. She was in the fight with Joe Exotic as he was running his big cat place in Oklahoma. Joe Exotic, he put a hit on her, right?
Depending who you believe.
I believe he did.
I don't believe he did.
Well, I believe he put a three grand hit. It was poorly executed, and she's alive today because
it's also poorly funded.
Nope,
poorly funded. Blood is a big expense.
You get what you.
As Virgil Salazzo said in The Godfather, I don't like violence, Tom. Blood is a big expense.
Well,
it seems to me like Joe took the heat for everybody in that docuseries when there was a lot of wrongdoing on a lot of different people's plates.
Okay,
and Joe Exotic for some reason.
Yes.
What's the fall guy?
Because he's too stupid to know what's going on.
Because he's
around
too
him?
Stupid to know what's going around.
Right.
Yes,
there's some. Okay, I might agree with that. Now, unfortunately, she sued him back in 2011. She won a trademark infringement lawsuit for $1 million. Well, Joe Exotic never paid that.
Of course not.
No.
And so then
over my dead body,
Joe Exotic transferred his property there of his big cat place in Oklahoma to his mom in order to evade creditors, including Carol Baskin. Well, a judge ruled today that Carol Baskin, in for payment, gets Joe Exotic's Oklahoma big cat resort. She now owns the one here in Florida and owns Joe Exotic's place.
Leading Carol Baskin.
How about that?
I don't like Carol Baskin.
Nobody likes her.
Nobody likes
She's
Carol Baskin.
Creepy, and we think she got away with stuff too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The little guy just needs a win.
Is Joe Exotic the little guy?
Yeah.
Okay, now.
He finished third in the gubernatorial race in Oklahoma just a few years ago.
That's scary, by the way, that
20. No, he didn't finish third.
Yes, he did.
20% of Oklahomans voted for him.
Yes, he did.
Well, one in five voted for him for
okay, well, what
governor.
Was the one where he ran with eight other people and he finished last? Okay, this had to be another vote because remember he only.
No, he ran for governor and then he ran for president of the United States.
Right, right.
That didn't last so long.
And now he wants the president to pardon him.
Right.
That ain't gonna happen. Not going to happen.
So, Chris, if you think he was duped, then but his whole property is gone now, even though he's in jail.
Right.
But his property has been given away.
I know.
So if he was wronged, then what happens when we find out? How is he going to be made whole if he ever gets out?
I don't know. It was all that sleazeball. I don't even remember his name anymore. The short, bald one.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
That guy
had the swinger parties in Vegas.
Oh,
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Wait a minute. The guy that had the swinger parties was the guy that owned the place in Myrtle Beach.
Wasn't that the other gay guy? They were held at the same.
That was another big cat.
Wasn't he married? He's married to two guys, right? Allegedly. Or
no,
whatever.
that was Joe Exotic who was married to two guys.
Right.
You had the guy who basically had like concubines in South Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Doc Antill.
Doc Antill. It was in Myrtle Beach. That's a whole other guy.
That's a whole other guy. No, I'm talking about the investor that came in halfway through the series, right?
And he's
showing off his hot nanny.
Yeah, that guy. I forget his name. Yes. I forgot his name. But that had nothing to do with the guy in South Carolina.
Derek Lowe?
No, that's a pitcher for the Red Sox.
I think it was Derek Lowe. No. Oh, because there can't be more than one Derek Lowe on Earth, huh?
What a great trade that was. One of the worst trades in Mariner history. Great trade for Dan Duquette back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Derek Lowe and Jason Veritek for Heathcliff Slocum. Oh,
nicely done.
Talk about a heist.
All right. Now, speaking of your beloved man athletes from the Northeast, as we know, Tom Brady recently showed off his golf skills or lack thereof or whatever you want to call it, somewhere in between, with his
Jeff Lowe.
Matt, thank you, Jeff Lowe.
Jeff Lowe.
Not Derek Lowe.
I'm so. Oh, yeah. So wrong. My bad.
Just say Lowe. One of those Lowe's.
Oh, Drake fan has texted in. Does 5 o'clock hot take Craig think Carol killed her husband? Craig's answer is yes.
Probably no. That's a hot take. You saying no to that question is a hot take.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So Tom Brady, we saw his golf skills on the match with Phil and Tiger and Peyton the other weekend. John Daly says he can fix Tom Brady with one lesson. One lesson. He thinks he can get 100 more yards out of his drive. Think about that. 100. Now, if I'm not mistaken,
I'll take a lesson.
First of all, Tom Brady did not really use a driver. I think he pretty much stuck to the 3-wood.
It was crooked.
Peyton didn't either, I don't think. Well,
John Daly says that was mistake number one. He says the driver is the easiest club in the bag to hit.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Once you learn how to hit your driver, it should be pretty consistent.
So he thinks.
See, my 3-wood goes farther than my drive.
It's a problem.
You're swinging wrong.
That's a problem.
You know, my drives only go between 200 and 220 on the hole. Once in a while, I get one at 232.
You're worried about 3-wood.
No. I don't know what it is. It's all upstairs. But anyway, pretty much.
2-iron goes that far.
Well, I did this last weekend when you had your alleged Eagle 2 on a par 3/4.
It was a real 4. It was 290 yards, and I got a 2. I mean, that's a real that's a real eagle. If you want to get, I've had an eagle on a par 5 before. They've been short par 5s. I'm not eagling a 600-yard par 5. Not that guy.
No.
But still, I feel like an eagle's an eagle's an eagle.
All right. Well, John Daly says, I just need to teach him to grip it and rip it, baby, and I can add 100 yards to his drive. Says it's easy. Piece of cake.
Okay, well, that means anybody. I mean, I'm saying
he could probably do the same thing for you, Pete Shepard. He could do it for you.
I'd like to watch a video of him do it and try at least.
Yes, that would be cool. All right. Seems like you had something you teased an hour ago. And we just haven't gotten to it. Do you remember what it was?
I got to it. It was about the NFL. I mean, the big news right now.
Oh no, you had
NFL.
A big stat with the NFL. You did not share with us.
I did. It was about the refereeing down 6%.
Oh.
Yeah. But there's another story out now, Pro Football Talk, that just came out a few seconds ago. The NFL and NFL-owned media outlet to float a trial balloon today regarding the possibility that players could give back some salary in 2020 in order to, quote, save some jobs both this year and next. Mm. How about that?
Yeah.
It's a simple argument, one which has been mentioned here previously. Florio says, with the salary cap set for 2020, with losses possible, if not likely in the form of games played without fans, teams will be more tempted to slash high-priced veteran players or to squeeze them to take pay cuts under the threat of being released, hoarding cash in anticipation of the reduced revenue. And for 2021, if and when the salary cap falls, which it's going to, we all know that, that same dynamic would play out. The higher-priced veterans in greater danger of being whacked in order to keep a given team under the lower spending time limit next year. That would be driven by lower revenue this year. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And that was for the NBA, you said?
No, NFL.
Oh. Remember, NBA is in a tough spot as well. They've got their whole China issue that they've still never straightened out. And China said, we're not airing your games in this country.
I believe they've lost $300 million so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a problem. That's not coronavirus related. That's not just going to go away after a season, right?
Right.
Vaccine happens. Okay, everything's back to normal. Nope. No. Not for the NBA.
Hmm. That's a good point. That was a big... Remember when that was a big deal?
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't feel like the sports world was turned upside down briefly. That's a pittance compared to what we've gone through as humans over the last 90 days.
I'd love a good geopolitical debate right now.
That would be fantastic right now.
It'd be great.
Give me something.
Well, some states have had debates over the last couple of days with different whatever reps and Senate positions open up.
Yeah,
I don't know how you have one of those with all this stuff going on, but some have.
All right.
So the big story right now is the NFL, you can't leave your training facilities to go elsewhere. You have to stay at home. You have to stay on campus, so to speak.
Like you can't go home?
Like, no, you got to stay where you are. You got to stay on the team training facility. So, you know, Miami has to stay in Miami, Tampa Bay State. You can't, like Dallas going to California, you can't do that. They got to train at Jerry's World.
Gotcha. I did have some sound left over from earlier today. Buster Olney and Jeff Passan like to get to regarding baseball. And again, this is a humongous week in baseball. Pete and I are both at DEFCON 1. We don't think this is happening. If the owners are trying to come back, go, well, let's just do a short 50-game season. We'll save some money. We'll get the players to play. 50, that's garbage for baseball. The dangerous thing would be if the 50 season happened and it worked and we liked it, then what are we playing 162
for? I was thinking about that this morning.
Yeah?
And I would sit down and watch baseball games if there were only 50 of them.
Well, my Tigers wouldn't be eliminated, so, or maybe they
would. Well, they would be, yeah. No, they would.
No, they go one lucky hot streak and they're in it.
You have a good 2 weeks
stretch. You win 9 out of 10 and you're in it.
It's all those years where, like, random teams like the Seattle Mariners start 12-1.
Right.
And you go, okay, this isn't sustainable.
Right.
50-game season.
That's a done deal. You
knocked out a quarter of your year already. You're good.
That's a wrap. Here is Buster Olney. Feeling around Major League Baseball is there will be a season. This was on Spain & Company last night.
We're going to play something. And we're going to, you know, make this agreement, give you an offer of at least 50 games, which is the minimum that we can do. We've told you that we are going to want salary rollbacks. If you won't agree to those, then we'll have the minimum number of games. So that means we would pay the lowest amount of money while giving you your prorated salaries. And now they flip the ball into the player's court according to the documentation that they have. The players, legally are not supposed to go out on strike at this time. They obviously could, talk about, different compromises. There is growing confidence this evening that they're going to find some middle ground. I will tell you, it's good that they're talking. It's good they're getting a season going. But I have no doubt that the way this is played out, that the owners would be coming for the players' lunch money in the future. But, that's a conversation for another day.
Okay. Here is Jeff Passan on SportsCenter, to kind of talk about the same things. The 2020 MLB season may hinge on the agreed-upon number of games.
The league doesn't want to do 62, 114 games. It's talking even fewer than that. And the big question at this point is going to be whether the players are willing to do something that short. Because remember, if you're playing 50 games instead of the 82 that was proposed initially, if you're playing 50 out of 160, you're looking at all, you know, less than a third of their salary there. Is that something that the players are going to be willing to do? The league believes that in that March agreement, it has the ability to set the schedule. Now, we have to remember, this March agreement has been a bone of contention already. The league has not believed that the players have the right to a full pro rata share from that agreement. That's something that the players have been stuck on. And it's going to be interesting to see what the response is to this, considering just how quickly the league could be getting back to the union on this.
How do you think a Blake Snell is going to feel with a 50-game season? He was already complaining about being cut in half. Now we play a 50-game schedule? And then, and minus taxes that he was talking
but
about
the,
all this.
But here's a loophole. What if he says, I don't feel safe, I'm not playing? I mean, this is where, you know, force majeure comes into play again, which is, you know, I'm serious. He won't be the only one. I guarantee you there are players that will not abide. If they say report, they're going to come up with something. I'm not playing, I don't feel safe.
Yeah,
and they'll get it, and they'll get away with it.
The MLS Players Association, actually, that was a line from their release that they didn't want to have to invoke force majeure. So they were
really?
I promise you, I laughed out loud while taking a poop this morning reading that story.
Two things I got to comment
about. Force majeure.
Hold on. Number one.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Number one, Chris did it. He tried for 3.5 hours to get MLS into our show.
Force majeured it in there.
Number two, it's sad that I know this, but you are on record as saying you are a sit-down 7 p.m. guy. What do you mean this
Coronavirus
morning?
Coronavirus has messed me all up. Coronavirus has done it. I don't know what it is. I'm in the morning.
You're a morning person?
I'm in the morning. It's crazy.
Every day?
It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. But back to the MLB players. The whole point was they didn't want to do a revenue split. This new 50-game proposal, they would not be doing a revenue split. There would be no revenue share involved in this. It would be you have your game check. You'll get 50 of
those.
You'll
get one-third of what they thought they were going to get.
You'll get 50, 160 seconds of your game, your salary for the year.
Yeah.
So they don't technically have to sign off on anything. So this is where the owners, or at least it seems to me like the owners, are kind of saying, okay, really, you've already signed this piece of paper agreeing to this. We've got the contract. Now you can go for the more money where you're going to have to play more games, or you can go for just a straight prorated salary, but we're going to play the minimum number of games to limit our loss.
Yeah.
Right? Because we did the story a week or so ago. Each game played is $640,000 loss for the owners.
Right. So playing 50 games, Mike Trout would only get $13 million.
Yeah. And after taxes,
he's still coming out okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody texting in. I mean, do you not read your phone while you're sitting over water?
What are some of the texts here?
Giants fan, thanks for telling us what you were doing while using the bathroom. We totally needed to know that. I don't know what to tell you. I thought that's not unique to me. Is it?
This is why you don't want to touch anybody else's phone.
Exactly why you don't want to touch anybody else's phone.
If you were to do a bio test on anybody's phone, and I'm talking to all you out there, there is fecal matter on your phone right now. Right now.
Yeah.
You worry about wiping down because of coronavirus? You got fecal matter on your phone
right
now. But
it's my fecal matter.
Good God.
It is.
Wipe your phone.
Wipe your phone. Ugh.
Phone wipes.
Now, there's a business.
There's a business idea right there.
You just gave that idea out to 10,000 people.
Oh, my God. A phone wipe.
Phone wipe.
It's like hand sanitizer, but it's for your phone. I'm sure they've got it. They've made that.
My wife has gone nuts on that stuff. When I come home, and when she comes home, whatever, she's got she has her little cotton.
She wipe you down? Does she wipe you down?
She's got her cotton makeup removers and some alcohol, and she's wiping down phones and keys and
really?
Everything. She's loosened the bone a little bit there and the hair on the. We haven't done it quite as much lately.
Well, you're like that when you get into the studio, Craig. You get a couple of Clorox cleanup wipes, and you clean everything.
Well, aren't we supposed to? Isn't it company
yes.
policy before?
Yeah, but you're not. By the way, you got to sign the sheet of paper out here.
I know.
I got you. It's okay.
What? Oh, yeah, we got policy here, Pete.
Oh, there's a there's a sign-in sheet, Pete, outside of the studio.
And you have to the building, right? Yeah,
no, you have to sign it each time we enter and leave the studio for an on-air shift. We have to clean down all of the high traffic surface areas.
I saw that. That's fine. That's logical. But you don't have to sign out every time. If during a break I wanted to walk around the building inside, and I don't have to sign out for that, do I?
No.
No, that would be ridiculous.
If I ever get back there.
That'd be crazy.
Right. That's crazy talk.
Well, last time it happened, Craig, you got locked out. You got lost.
Yes, I did get locked out. They changed the doors around here.
I was listening, by the way, to that.
That was the day Chris was off. Yeah. Come back from break. Where's Craig?
Just going to the liquor store.
I was.
Bubba Gump says it's a total downpour in Cape Coral. Be careful if you headed out that way.
What did I buy? I bought a new wine opener. I bought.
Electronic or manual?
Manual.
Oh, really? We have electronic ones at our house.
Electronic or just the pressure? The air?
No, it's something you do. It does, yeah.
Does it all for you?
It's battery powered?
No, this is just a little $8.
Yeah.
Ours broke.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you've been using it a lot.
Got that. handle of Tito's. What else did I get? Oh, I got a like one of the butane lighters.
Yeah.
It was a panic buy. What? I saw it. I've always wanted one, and I just...
Why was that a panic buy?
Because it wasn't a necessity. Because on the rare occasion I'll have a cigar, once every 6 months, I like the way that it looks.
Okay.
There's no other way to it.
All right. Well, that's cool. Got a bunch of little lighters in my drawer that I used to light maybe a flame outside or something. I don't know.
What do you mean light a flame outside?
Well, I got I got my fire pit. That's a gas grill or gas tank.
Yeah, I got you.
Gas grill. But I also have this nice little thing filled with citronella. Lights a flame in between our chairs.
Yeah.
I need something to light.
Mm.
Light that torch.
Do you have the long stem?
Yeah, long stem. I used to have them left over from when I was in Houston to light my gas fireplace. But I don't have a fireplace in my house down here.
You don't need it.
Every once in a while, I miss a fireplace. Well, kind of, but you're right. You don't need it here.
This time of the year, somebody with a fire pit, you don't need it this time of the year.
Right, right.
And you won't need it until,
December.
Honestly, yeah,
November,
it's
December.
Pete, you're right. It's December.
Yeah.
I always try to tell myself, by Thanksgiving it's nice.
Nah.
No, it's not.
Don't need it. Don't need it.
I mean, in this year, we had temperatures 10, 14 degrees above normal, starting like really. We only had one of those weeks where it was like hit the 40s, and one time it hit 39 early in the morning, but it was like 4 or 5 days. And remember, the temperatures just jumped back up to 80.
Yeah, 80 plus. April. April was extremely hot.
Yeah, I'm not complaining, but I mean, March and April were way above normal every single day and no rain.
Killed off the Rona.
So look at this. Here's an idiot. This feels like a Friday story, but parts of Western Mass, you guys, border Vermont. So this knucklehead, Vermont State Police said Christopher Hermansdorfer of Williamstown, Mass, was driving on Route 7 in Pondwell on Monday. Yesterday, he threw a large pickle. Yes, a pickle out of his window. It happened to hit an hit an agency of transportation employee, Carl Hoffman, who was working a detail near the border with Massachusetts, causing him pain. Troopers were given a description of the vehicle and the suspect by the agency of transportation supervisor on the scene at the time of the incident. Authorities eventually located the guy who threw the pickle, was issued a citation to appear before the Bennington County Superior Court in July to answer the charges of simple assault.
Can you imagine when he's behind bars? Hey. What are you in for? I threw a pickle.
I dilled somebody. Get it?
Good one.
It's bad taste.
Get all right, boys and girls, we are going to be giving away a brand new 3-burner Weber grill for Father's Day this year. All you have to do is submit your favorite photo of you and your dad to 993ESPN.com, and on Father's Day, we'll tally up the votes. Photo with the most votes wins brand new grill for dad. It's that simple. And we're allowing you, I'm not going to say cheat, but you can really enhance your chances.
You can cheat.
Do whatever it takes to win. Tell all your friends and family members to vote for you. Send them a link, the whole deal. 993ESPN.com. Get yourself a free Weber grill for Father's Day. Sheeman and Shepherd, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. You know, I noticed today was I love my dentist day. Does anybody really love their dentist?
Well, since my dad was one and an oral surgeon, yeah, I did. But I can honestly say I was his worst patient.
You were the worst patient?
Horrible.
Why? Hated. Did you sit there and scream all the time?
No. I did okay. It wasn't my favorite thing to do.
I haven't
and
had
he never like pressured going me. He to never the, pressured me to see, he never pressured me to go.
But that was
either.
that was my point. When I asked, does anybody really love their dentist? Nobody goes, oh yeah, I got a dentist appointment today. Nobody does that.
I just airmailed an appointment earlier this week.
You whiffed?
Yeah.
Why?
No, sorry, it was last week.
You know, you get charged for not showing up.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
That's in the paperwork. Minimum if you blow off an appointment. Well, maybe during Corona they make an exception.
Yeah, force majeure.
Yeah, my dad, God rest his soul, was extremely generous. I mean, he took care of our entire family and in-laws. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he knows what everybody knew what everybody's mouth looked like, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Today is
why I never became a lawyer.
Why? Because the master of the obvious kind of thing?
Yeah, all the freebies and all that. What do they call it? Pro bono?
Is that the reason you didn't go to law school? You didn't want to give pro bono services to anybody that you knew? Is that the reason?
Yep.
It's called networking.
Yeah. Today is National Bubba Day. You know, in the South, everybody's Bubba. That's a nickname.
Bubba Gump?
Yeah, people call me Bubba all the time. I live in South Carolina.
Bubba?
Bubba?
Yeah. People, let me say this.
You're not a Bubba.
People who lived in South Carolina their whole lives.
Oh, it's like saying, hey, dude.
Yeah,
sort of
hey, dude. Yeah, it's a hey, Bubba.
Call my nephew Bubba.
What's his real name?
Jackson.
It's not even close.
Nope.
I call the dog that sometimes.
Bubba?
Bubba?
I call her all sorts of things. Different stuff.
Well,
stupid, cutesy stuff.
Why don't you call her by her name? She's going to be confused.
Usually, I do. I do. She's been good today. She needs a walk. My wife's been gone for 6 hours, so.
When's she coming back?
I don't know. I don't know if she's ever coming back.
Well, that's true. You never know. That could happen. Well.
Anyway. So, again, according to Adam Schefter, ESPN, the NFL has told all 32 of its teams that they must stay at their team facilities for this summer's training camp. So.
Oh.
Yep. What? So, again.
No inter squad.
No Oxnard, California for the Cowboys. They're back in Frisco. And the Carolina Panthers will not be hosting the training camp at Wofford College in South Carolina for the first time in team history.
Yeah, that was their facility.
The only reason they did that is because the former owner,
Jerry Richardson,
went
to Wofford.
Yeah.
And he built the whole place. All kinds of money and everything.
Yeah.
Well, where are they going to train now?
What time school did Wofford beat? This year again,
North Carolina.
North Carolina. North Carolina Tar Heels.
I've forgotten.
Who still has their tournament streak intact? So does Indiana.
You put too much weight on that, Chris.
I really do. Way too
much weight on that.
But I'm not wrong.
Well, I guess you're not wrong.
But I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, it was being a college basketball again. A judge in Florida today denied a motion from Zion Williamson and his legal team to stay discovery into whether he was eligible to play last year under NCAA rules. So
Duke going down.
The ruling requires that Williamson must answer questions under oath related to his eligibility and any improper benefits he or his family may have received. Again, you know that Gina Ford and Prime Sports Marketing, his former agency, filed suit against him seeking $100 million. For breach of contract. Ford and Prime Sports also filed a request for admissions asking Williamson to admit that his mom and stepdad demanded and received gifts, money, and other benefits from persons acting on behalf of Duke University, parentheses, directly and or indirectly, to influence you to attend Duke University to play basketball.
Is he allowed to take the fifth? Is he allowed to take the fifth?
Well, he's already admitted.
Well,
that
I don't
gifts were given. He's already said it.
Okay, so he's going to roll in there and he's going to flip on Coach K.
I don't know if he'll mention him by name.
Yeah, Why not?
There's always a buffer in between.
But
can,
but
you know?
Can he
it's
take
always
the
somebody
fifth?
In between.
Or
it's
is
a,
that
it's a
is that a, is that in criminal trial only, not civil? Is he can he take the fifth?
I
see,
don't
Chris,
know,
this is where I wish you had gotten
well,
your
well,
buddy.
No, but again, the day before this.
He's already admitted a couple months ago, right? When this, he said that he was giving, he was did write the quote. He
I
said
don't
it.
Know if it came from him or if it came from family members.
Yeah, no, I thought it I'm came at. From him. I thought he said something like, I don't think he might not have mentioned anything specific. I thought he said that because he didn't think it was going to come back to bite him in the butt.
I don't remember that. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I don't know.
I'm almost positive he said something like, "Yeah, yes, I received gifts. I kidded about it. I was like, yeah, Duke paid more for the house in North Carolina. That's why I went to Duke.
Yeah,
his parents got the house. Which is fine. I got no problem with it.
When's this going down?
Let's see.
I mean, he's got playoffs to worry about. Maybe when they come back, he's gonna have a full plate. What a crappy rookie season he had. I mean, not him statistically, but he missed the first part of it because he was hurt. Then he comes back. Then they stop the season due to Corona. Then they're going to bring it back. He may or may not make the playoffs because they're on the bubble. And then he's got this trial going on. That's a horrible first year.
Well, Zion's legal position is this right now. Last week's filing, Williamson's legal team argued that the resolution of the North Carolina case could partially or completely obviate the need for the information Prime Sports Marketing is seeking as part of the discovery process in the Florida case. Additionally, Williams' lawyers argued that Prime Sports Marketing discovery requests, quote, are nothing more than a fishing expedition aimed at tarnishing Williamson's reputation. I would never say his reputation is tarnished. You think I give a damn or anybody else does that somebody gave him his family some benefits or to go play basketball at Duke?
It would tarnish Duke more than it would him. I do.
Oh,
with that.
Yeah, it would tarnish Duke. But I mean, how anybody thinks that any of these big time programs are squeaky clean, as usual, I don't understand. You got to be living with your head in the sand. They're all doing it in some way, shape, or form. May not come back to the coach. Sometimes there's always a buffer, or a shoe person, or a booster in between, or sometimes a combination of both. But
yeah.
So how do you think you get 5-star recruits to go not go to Arizona or go to Duke or North Carolina because of what they want to study?
Facilities,
please.
Pete. Facilities.
Well, what,
that part of it.
You
can
go
could
because
be
you
want
to go play for Coach K and you know you're going to be on national TV every weekend.
Yeah, everybody's on national TV.
No, they're on regional.
Top five recruits.
I haven't seen a nationally televised Arizona basketball game in 2 years.
Oh, sure they are. They're on all the time.
Yeah,
yes, they
CBS.
Are. They're on all the time.
You're just asleep at that point, Craig.
Oh, is that a noon game on Saturday?
Well, that's the other thing. A lot of kids want to come to the East Coast.
And real quick, I do think it's important to just clarify that the MLS Players Association has not officially agreed to anything with the MLS, but Taylor Twellman is reporting that it's very close. So I just wanted to get that cleared up. I know it's been a big topic today.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
It's time
to
end the show. If you missed the show today, be sure to listen to all 4 hours, minus the MLS chit-chat that Chris tried to jam in there twice today. The Sheeman Shepherd on-demand feature is available on the 99.3 ESPN app, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. What you got next? Maybe more MLS talk. Stay tuned. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, and Scenic Views. On this day in 1933, FDR put the first swimming pool in the White House. How about that? 1935, Babe Ruth announced his retirement. You know he retired at age 40? Pretty old for a guy back then.
Compiler.
Wasn't in great shape.
Compiler. 1953, Queen Elizabeth II was crowned. Well, she's been in there a long time. 1953.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was that, Craig?
Carry the seven. That's 47. 57, 67 years, Chris.
Years.
How about that for live math on the radio? In 1883, we had our first night baseball game under the lights in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, I was going to say Cincinnati.
Nope.
It's always my guess.
Check this out. 1901, Benjamin Adams was arrested for playing golf on Sunday.
Benny.
How many of you have played golf on Sunday?
Did it last Sunday, Craig?
Happy birthday, Tex Schramm. He would have been 100.
Tex.
Wow, yeah.
1944, Garo Yeprimian was born.
Who?
The former kicker of your little Dolphins.
Oh, little Dolphins.
Craig Stadler, 1953. Yeah. Kyle Petty, 1960.
The Walrus.
And umpire.
Of course, Yeprimian. Was Yeprimian, right, that had the famous...
The fumble slash pass fumble snap, slash kick. Yes, that was him.
The only bad part of the 72 Finkel. Team was that play.
He died 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And umpire Brian Harvey, born in 1963. That's it. Pete Shepard, what you got?
Well, again, in case you missed it, another big story today. The NBA Board of Governors has a meeting set for Thursday, set for a vote on a finalized plan to restart the season. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that first the league is still working through those details with the NBA Players Association, but it models a 22-team format for a July 31st resumption in Orlando. The proposed timeline for teams as the last possible date for the NBA Finals Game 7 would be October 12th.
Hmm. All right, NBA fever catch. That's about when the next season was supposed to start, end of October, early November. I'll have to back that up a little bit.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right.
And also, it's going to be, it looks like that the NBA has agreed that Disney's Coronado Spring Resort will likely be the primary host resort for the NBA when they resume the season.
Lovely resort.
Okay. How about
that?
I've
not been there. I'm sure it is. Yeah.
When we talked about that first as a possibility, I looked it up during the show. Very nice. Lots of nice pictures. Chris, what you got?
Whoa, where'd my story go?
Oh, here we go.
Hold on one second. No, this is good stuff. Hold on. It was really, well, it wasn't good stuff. It's actually bad stuff.
Okay. Which is it?
Well, it's bad, but where did it go?
Spain and Company coming up next, top of the hour.
Oh, here we go. Okay. fresh out of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Oh, Congo.
They have declared a new epidemic in that country. Oh. Ebola.
It's back?
It's back.
Ooh.
It's back. Yesterday in the western city of, and I might not be saying this right, Umbadanka?
Close.
Umbadaka? Yep.
You know what? You nailed it.
It's about 620 miles away from an ongoing outbreak in the same deadly virus, but in the eastern part of Congo. Health minister, not going to attempt that name, said four people who died in Umbadanka were confirmed as positive following testing at the National Biomedical Laboratory in the capital of Kinshasa.
That's just great, Chris. Ebola making a comeback with corona, riots. What's next, 2020? What's next?
And Cougar Hunter.
MLS return?
Don't,
can get worse.
Don't ask that question, Craig. And Cougar Hunter saying Coca-Cola in the glass bottle's the best. Which Coke do you all prefer? I will agree with you. You go glass bottle one. Oh. Ice cold can too. Plastic bottle might not even be worth drinking.
The Coca-Cola back in the day and with the light green tinted bottle, unbelievable.
What was that zero sugar or something?
No,
the original
Coke.
Bottle. It was a clear bottle, but just had a light.
It was small.
Green
it wasn't
tint.
A huge. I don't even think it was. I don't even think it was like 16. It was like I don't. Even
oh,
know
you get the
ounces.
Small ones. Now you're talking.
Yeah. Well, no, the smaller ones, not the plastic small ones, but they have bottles.
I know what you're talking about.
They still have them.
Yeah,
they still have the bottles.
You can get them once in a while.
There was just a recycled label.
No,
Coke out of the bottle was outstanding back in the day.
All right,
and I'll go McDonald's Coke number one on the power list.
No,
yes, Coke. No, it's not. It's perfect.
We'll continue this tomorrow for Chris, for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Kudos to me for putting up all this.
No.
Be back tomorrow for Hump Day Wednesday. God bless America and the world, everybody.
Be safe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.